back and forth. They had the library in town. They had a theater. So it had a lot of things. So it just was a perfect place for a senior citizen to live and grow and be happy and find other people here at the senior center that have the same likes.
So could you all do me a favor, and you can work off each other, you don't have to, you can talk across to each other and talk to each other, that's fine. Can you describe New Milford for me?
Well, if I wanted to get something in, excuse me, Joan.
Go ahead.
But
say that again, I'm sorry.
The one thing that I think I realized correctly was that up until World War II, New Milford was a farming community. Mm-hmm. And this is a totally different mindset from the urban industrialized towns that you see predominantly today. Mm-hmm. And I think from that base, it's a much more interactive understanding environment. It is now, there is industry in. There had been the brass mill out on the northern part of town. And I don't know when Kimberly Clark came into the picture.
I don't know when it came.
I would think after World War II, but that's a guess.
I don't know when it came, but I do know that when we came, my husband wasn't in the mill end of it. He was in the sales end of it. So they were developing a sales force here, and he traveled all over the world, really. That's why we stayed married so long. He traveled a lot.
Yep. Well, that's my take.
And it's
on
changed
it.
since then too. Since 30
oh, yeah.
years, it was a farming community, and it evolved into people from everywhere we meet.
Yep. Well, another thing is when they developed 7 North out of Danbury and made it 4 lane. That had a vast impact on this town. A lot of people, I don't think new people to the town realize, but Route 7 was 2-lane McAdam, and it was damn bottleneck, pardon the expression.
That's true.
Because I was in scouting in Bethel, and a lot of our trips for our weekend camps were north up 7.
Yeah.
And whenever we could, we went another route going north because it was a mess, bumper to bumper. But that's all changed. And now Route Super 7, as it's called, is now very commercialized.
Yes.
How do you think that's impacted the town? That's
really
it. That's a question to all of you.
I really don't know because I don't drive anymore.
Well, I think easy access getting here.
Yes.
I mean, definitely to get here. Because I was in real estate when I lived here 30 some years ago. And people then, and Super 7 wasn't there then. And I had relocated a lot of people with Behring or Ingelheim and Union Carbide, which was here. And a lot of them wanted to have they came from all over the world again, and they wanted a Connecticut town. And this is typical Connecticut town. We have our green, we have our gazebo, we have our flag flying.
Do you all agree with that?
Yes, and I don't, it was Red Book, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago that wrote that New Milford was one of the best towns to settle in 20 years ago. They did a whole article. But I don't remember the date, and I suppose someone, you could go online now and find that out. But I'm pretty sure it was Red Book. But although the town has grown, I still feel it's hometown, because the town that I think of is the green.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of, when you're going down 7, it's part of the town. Some of it makes it easier because before you had your shopping plazas, you had to travel a long way to buy anything. And that was before we had the internet and you could go online and you could order. You had to get in the car and you had to drive. And there were only maybe two doctors in the town. Mm-hmm. So you had to drive to Danbury. So some of the progress has been good. You have now a bigger
mall. You have a mall.
Yes.
We didn't have the mall.
No, we didn't. And you just couldn't find things.
Right.
And I,
do you think that, so you say that our town is the green, right? And actually I've heard that from so many people. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
that's what you true. Think
well,
of it is
for
mind.
Me because I don't drive.
Right. Right.
So I rely on Main Street and Bank Street.
So
mostly, those areas.
One thing that, along that line though, you're talking an older age group. This conversation should be had with your contemporaries and the younger, because we have a history that is being reflected and radiated from the town back and forth. Now, you made the conversation about you had to go to Danbury to shop, but that wasn't totally true, because you had on Bank Street
that's
a
about
very
to bring that
well
up.
Developed shopping area. It was not the variety of one type of store, but there were unique stores, and you could get what you wanted. If you wanted to keep up with the Joneses at the time, and you were subject to commercialism, then you went afield.
Mm-hmm.
It depends where you're coming from. You know, and the people like with being in real estate, the people that, when I said, they said, well, where do you shop? Well, we didn't have a mall. And I said, well, I have no trouble shopping. We have little shops everywhere,
yeah.
Which we did.
Yeah.
And where do you go to the doctor? We have,
I always feel like I'm in school.
Danbury wasn't that far away. But,
sure we had, sometimes though, we had Barton's.
Exactly.
However, you go in there and Barton's didn't carry everything. Mm-hmm. And you have two children that want to dress a certain way.
Well, there again is the influence of age.
Right.
And
right.
The association that age group makes among itself.
Absolutely. And I think you had a comment.
Yeah. Oh, what I was going to say is I'm only here 6 years, so I'm seeing, like, for instance, Bank Street. I feel sad sometimes that things are storefronts that are closed down. They're starting to reopen and giving businesses, but it's the same type of business.
What do you mean? Like, what is
mean,
that
type? I mean,
for
instance, okay, restaurants, we have enough. We even have Domino's coming down Main Street, but that's another story that I'm not thrilled. But Bank Street, we had the coffee house that was so wonderful. They closed that down. Somebody just said on Facebook.
We have a new one.
Wait a minute, let me finish, please. I just want to finish my sentence.
All right, go ahead.
That is going to reopen something at the old one. But where Dagwood's was is definite. Around November 1st, they met the couple that own it. Walking down Bank Street, and they were there. And I said, oh, you're the people? Oh, okay, when? November 1st. It's called
River something.
River Rail, thank you. And I let them know on Facebook, the site, because I was asking somebody, and then I answered them. So now you have Java House, that one, and that. You'll have three of the same type. Now, I know they might be all different,
though. Not of the same type of
I was going to say, in a way,
okay.
They're all. They may be unique in different ways. I wanted to say they possibly. So yeah, I guess you have to decide to try different ones and see what you like. You know, I mean, that's what my great niece wrote, and it's true. Everything is different. But it's nice to see things coming in. But I'm sorry, in a way. For instance, where Domino's went in, it's a very huge place, and I was surprised they would do another restaurant type place. Yeah. I was always in my mind saying, wow, too bad it couldn't be many different businesses in there. Like, you know, like when I lived in the city and they had a place like kiosks, you know, and you sold this, you know, different things. Because as far as clothing and stuff like that, I mainly a lot go to the thrift shop of New Milford, you know, the thrift mart. because I know the money comes back to town. So I donate there and I buy there quite a bit.
We don't have enough parking, I think, downtown that would allow you, if you had all these little shops and they became popular, you could, I found that earlier on before some of these moved out, when CVS was there, you couldn't find a spot on the green. And if it was court day,
forget it, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So you don't know whether they would survive because they couldn't get the parking.
Right.
So only a certain kind of business, I think, can come in and survive here.
So you think, I'm going to push on that a little bit.
Okay.
Do you think that the Main Street that we all think of as sort of the iconic Rockwellian sort of old school Main Street is not sustainable anymore?
No, I think it's sustainable, but I think you have to get the right thing in there.
Okay.
This is the time when I used to take my children were allowed their first experience of being alone on the green. And I would give them an hour and a half to 2 hours. I'd give them a little money. They'd go into Hearts. And then a couple of places down, there's a little diner there that they went in and they got a hot dog and Coke. And, I don't know if parents are still doing that, but I felt safe. I wouldn't go home. I'd just go park at the end of the green, and then I would meet them because there weren't cell phones, there weren't pay phones, but they could wander around. And I was pretty, not quite a helicopter mom, but I was always concerned that they would be safe, but they also needed that experience which they got here. Also, you could drop them off at the movies years ago, and then you could pick them up before they got devious.
Yeah, I experienced that,
too. And they weren't where they were supposed to be.
I had several experiences like that.
But it's a good place. But I think things are sustainable. I think you have to get the right thing and maybe more parking if you've got...
But I do think, as far as going back to real estate again, rents are very high.
Yes.
So I guess the balance of, income and outgoing money, they need to make a certain amount of money.
Yes.
And maybe I
think the one thing that this is all revolving around, and I'd express it in one word, commercialization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You just touched on a very poignant part.
Yep.
Cost of rent. And Rochelle talked about the demise of the coffee shop. That was a town institution.
It was
down on Bank Street where all age groups came together.
Yes.
You had the mainline old guard that came in and met. And you had the youngsters come in and work on their computers when Wi-Fi came, but they came before. Now, the people that owned that or rented it, they sold out to another woman who took it over, maintained the same line. And then, if my memory serves me right, 8 months into her tenure, the new landlord threw her out, literally. He said, the end of the month, you're gone. And that was the end of a town institution. And he closed it down and said, I'm renovating.
And there's nothing there now. There's nothing in there now.
Well, somebody said that they heard, I don't know, it was true until I see it.
I remember what you said, Michelle.
But what have you heard?
No, what happened was I went on the Milverdite site and I said, I'm curious, can anybody tell me what's going in at Dagwoods? Because I saw a sign that it's going through renovation.
You said Dagwoods?
Yeah, where Dagwoods? I know, but I'm going to continue. The original one was about 21 Bank Street, which was Dagwoods. So somebody said I think it's a coffee shop. I happened, after I wrote that, the next day, let's say, I walked down Bank Street and the new owners were there, the husband and wife. I introduced myself, they introduced them to Mickey and I forgot now. Anyway, doesn't matter. And so I said, when are you opening? November 1st, River Rail. Fine. I go back online, say, I found out. Oh, this is where it's going to be. So somebody said, oh, well then, but also the other one that was, because I said, you know, across the street, the original, that is also going to be. I said, oh, I didn't know that. So somebody is saying that the one that you said where the woman got and it's been closed, that's also going to be open.
Oh, that's great.
So I don't know, because I, you know, as I said, I didn't speak to the mayor. But right. Like, I go to coffee with the mayor sometimes, and I didn't think to ask him about these things because he would answer me. But I asked him about other stuff things, so, you know.
So, and the whole thing is that
that's why I said there might
world,
be three different places.
Excuse me, Michelle, I'm sorry. But we're back to commercialization, because every time something like this happens, the cost of renting the space has gone up. And it's a small group of individuals that own most of the property on Bank Street. So they're buying it up to develop something.
Right.
And then you come back in to the town development, business development position in town. 5 years, 8 years ago, under Murphy, they established a business development position in town government. And he was supposed to go out and get a plan and get people to come in and help the industry, the town industry, go. And this has gone and gone and gone. You don't hear much in the newspaper or vocally of what actually is happening. But there's claims. And then on top of that, you talk about parking. Here is the problem. Do you want to keep the town green as
true.
What it was? Or do you want to develop an upscale business environment? The majority of the people, town green's it. We want to maintain it. But all these buildings around on the railroad street side of the green, they're all bunching together and developing. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the old CVS building that's going to be Domino's. And it is supposed to be not only a takeout, but an eat-in mm-hmm. place. And we drove by it the other day, and the king said, well, they're subdividing it. They got a wall got done. And I was going to say something, but I don't have it as a hard fact that partition is to wall off and separate the ovens and the preparation counter.
I went in, and you can't tell if that's what they're going to, that is totally walled off. You can't tell. It looks like it could be, like you said, just separating the takeout part.
But it's
part.
A solid wall from front to back.
So,
is that
you don't
it?
Know. I didn't see a front to back. It looked like it wasn't totally.
Okay, because what I'm based on is the comment I heard, once again.
Yeah.
It's not the official word.
Hearsay.
That was going to be a need-in develop as a need-in place. And it's going to be open till midnight. Now, how does that interface with the town green atmosphere?
Yeah.
Like it. That's what I'm saying.
So,
I didn't like it at all.
This is the pivot point that this town is on.
I thought it took away the ambiance.
Pardon me, Michelle?
The ambiance.
May not even make it. So,
yeah.
You know, I love bookstores, but we have our bookstore is getting its own this teeny weeny little thing now. But it can't be supported with all that's going on in the modern world.
So, I want to pull back a little bit, and let's talk about. I wonder if you all can sort of share your.
Well, can I say one more thing? I apologize.
No.
I just thought of this,
no,
and I don't know if it's pertinent to this. I'm going to be going to the meeting, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. that they're talking about the rail.
The what?
The rail over here.
Mm-hmm.
That they want, just like someplace else did it, I think in Massachusetts, they're looking to see about rail service that will go from here elsewhere.
They've been looking since 1975. That I live, the railroad goes right at the bottom of my property in Gaylordsville.
I'm just saying what they're having a meeting at Town Hall coming up.
We have a marvelous antique hotel up in Gaylordsville.
Yeah.
Yes, my husband has been involved in that for quite a long time. So,
I've been trying to get the two sisters who are involved in that to come and chat with me.
Oh, Jeremy and, I can't think of her sister's name. I knew Jeremy first, but they're really wonderful. Their father was part of the original owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that the rail service is going to...
stressed. I think I'm annoying.
Right. Because we're too used to getting in our cars and coming and going on our own to wait. Maybe when I'm older and I don't have to drive anymore.
I like that you say that, when I'm older. That's wonderful. I say that too, and I am older.
I know, but I'm thinking older.
Yeah, but I elected not to drive. I mean, it was a decision I made because I have more money if I don't have a car.
Right.
So I was getting $200 more of spending money. So
I want to, like I said, I want to sort of scale this back, and I wonder if you all can share your first memory of New Milford.
Oh, my God.
At least maybe not your first memory of New Milford as in the most literal sense, but like a point in time where you felt like you were really connected to the town, or maybe Gaylordsville even. I mean, I actually want to talk to you later on because I think New Milford is really amazing in how it's really it's really broken up into these tiny communities, and people are very separated, but they all sort of like are magnetized together by the green. So I think that's a really cool thing. But do you have a unique early memory of the town when you first moved here as a young mother?
As a young mother, when I first moved here, my house was supposed to be built.
Okay.
It wasn't even started, and we were homeless, we moved in. Off of 109. And we were living in a house that was for sale, and we didn't know we were there sort of illegally. We were paying rent. The wife, it was a divorced couple, the husband was taking the rent. The husband was taking the rent. The wife didn't know we were in there. The house was for sale.
That was interesting.
It was a very tumultuous thing. And then
how did you find out that you were illegal, is the question.
Somebody came to talk to us.
Okay.
Somebody came to talk to us. So then we moved out, and my sister had already moved to Gaylordsville, and her ex-husband, who was her husband at the time, had a motorcycle shop up there on Route 7, and she lives in the the gingerbread house up there. And so we moved in with her, and then after 30 days and two children, they didn't want us anymore. She runs a daycare still. And so then finally we got into Candlewood Lake Road North in an unfinished house. So my beginning here was not easy, but my children loved it. And I loved it. And my husband was happy with the job. We knew we were going to start a business up here. You couldn't start a business in Greenwich in your own home, and we started in our garage. And it turned out, you know, that he's now in a huge building up in Gaylordsville, right near where you are, Al. And in the complex, which...
Now, what business is it?
Well, it's Candlewood Tool and Machine Shop. My son-in-law bought it from us. But right now, my husband has a corner in that shop, and he makes parts for the USS Slater, a decommissioned Albany ship that's on the Hudson. And my husband has been silently redoing this ship in the machine shop. Along with many other...
That's very interesting.
People that do this.
And, yeah.
So that's what, when he retired, he said, I'm not working for money anymore. I'm going to work for other people as a volunteer.
See, that's so, what to me is so interesting about all of the stories that you hear.
Yes.
Because that's a gentleman that comes in and does the wood carving. I don't know if you met him.
I don't know who. Which gentleman
you're referring. I don't remember his name. He comes in, I think, Tuesday mornings and does wood carving. Finding out about him, he goes out almost, he did, he's older now, of course, but he goes out, he went out almost every weekend in the year, like 50 weekends a year, to do the reenactment of the Revolutionary War.
Oh, cool.
I mean, and then he makes all these little carvings that are replicas of things from the back in that day. So interesting, it truly is.
I think
a little story, all these little vignettes that you can
right, and you don't
piece
know
together.
Until you
that's
sit down
right.
and talk with that person.
Right.
And that's what this project is really about.
But so I guess I really don't have any. It was a jumble getting here, but once we were there,
do you feel like? Did you feel isolated? I mean, did people from the community reach out to you? I mean,
well, as soon as I got up here, I was a former Girl Scout, and I got in with the Girl Scout troops here, and I met somebody that has been my lifelong friend, and we ran a troop together, and so I didn't feel isolated. I wanted to be here.
You found
and
a community.
Then, yeah, then 5 years after we built the house that was not ready, we sold it and went to another house where my husband started. They had a big old chicken coop in the backyard that held antiques, and he converted into a machine shop. And then we were there until we went up to Gaylordsville in a big shop. So my children just adapted. And I think children are resilient. And we're 28 square miles here. They never picked a friend close by. They always picked the one on the other side of town.
Well, my first experience here was kind of crazy, because I bought the house while my children were still in California. We hadn't left there, but we came in. Kimberly Clark always let us go ahead and buy a house, so we bought a house. And I wanted an old Connecticut house. I wanted something that was like old. And we've always had brand new houses. We always built new houses. So I told my children that I bought a haunted house. So I thought that would get them to be excited to move here. So I told them about, and in this house we bought, it had a big, cathedral ceiling, but there was a big door up at the top.